Who the fuck schedules WrestleMania on April Fool's Day? That's a rib, right? That's gotta be a rib. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Ninja Nerd Warrior podcast for April 3rd, 2023. And actually, I'm starting to record on April 1st, but we'll get around to that. But seriously, who the fuck schedules WrestleMania on April Fool's Day? Now, I'm going to pull the curtain back. It is 4 o'clock on April 1st, so I don't know how good or bad WrestleMania is going to be. Just the fact that you scheduled on April 1st, that's fucking hilarious. But we'll get to that in a second. I have to say, this is my 100th episode. I have been doing this for 100 episodes now, and it feels like easily three times that. It really does. And I'm gonna level with you guys. I'm bored as shit. I am super bored of my own voice, and it is time for me to stop being lazy with this shit. And I've already booked a couple guests that I want to get in here and talk to. I want to do some big changes, because how I got to 100 episodes with this bullshit format, I have no idea. I really don't. So I do have some stuff coming up here in the future that I'm really excited about. And hopefully it will take this show up to the next level. But we are going to get back to that in the future. But what I wanted to do is I started noticing that about a month ago, my 100th episode was going to coincide with WrestleMania. And I was kind of stoked about that. I really did. So here's what I'm going to do. Like I said earlier, I'm posting this on April 3rd, but honestly, I am recording on April 1st. It is actually 4:12 in the afternoon. The WrestleMania, like, six-hour pre-show just started 4 hours ago. So what I'm going to do is I am going to do a play-by-play as the show's going on. I am going to sit down and in between here's my prediction. You want WrestleMania predictions? I'll give you a WrestleMania prediction. We're going to have a match, and then we have an hour and 15 minutes of fucking video packages. And then we have another match. And then 2 hours of video packages. And we're going to throw some stupid shit in there, like how many fucking B-list celebrities came out to WrestleMania in L.A. We're going to have shit with, I don't know, see if we can dig up Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Well, that fucker's not doing anything. And he hasn't been on a WrestleMania since, like, WrestleMania 12. Was it 12? When did Lawrence Taylor fight Bam Bam Bigelow? Because that was when we saw Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Burt Reynolds and Rhonda Shear. That was a specifically proud one. That was special because you had Rhonda Shear, who basically was this airheaded blonde bimbo on USA. Those were the celebrities for WrestleMania 12. And this time they have WrestleMania. Okay, let's start with that. WrestleMania goes Hollywood. That's some bullshit. Anybody outside of California, WrestleMania did not go Hollywood. It did not. Do you know where WrestleMania is at? WrestleMania is at SoFi Stadium, which is in the middle of Inglewood. Inglewood. Yeah, Inglewood. Inglewood always up to no good. Yeah, that Inglewood. Mentioned in gangster rap songs since the mid-90s. Google map that shit. WrestleMania is nowhere near Hollywood. Nowhere. If you know what, as a matter of fact, if you drove from WrestleMania to Hollywood in LA traffic, it would take you at least an hour and 15 minutes. It really would. So let's start with that shit. WrestleMania, not Hollywood, you lying motherfuckers. Now, admittedly, I might be a little salty about this shit because I had WrestleMania tickets in my fucking hand. WrestleMania is 90 minutes from my house. Seriously. If I jumped on the freeway right now and drove down there, well, not today. Today would be packed as shit. Yesterday fucked up anyway. Tuesday, if I drove from my house to SoFi Stadium on Tuesday, take me about 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours, maybe. I was there last June because SoFi Stadium is right next to the Great Western Forum, which is where AEW was. So I was in that area. It took me like an hour and 45 minutes to get there. So I'm salty as fuck right now because I had WrestleMania tickets in my hand, had them in my hand, lost my goddamn job the next day. Like less than 24 hours later, I was unemployed. And yeah, you can't really buy $200 WrestleMania tickets when you've got no paycheck coming in. So yeah, salty as fuck right now. On top of that, I have a shit ton of indie wrestling buddies who have been working shows down there all week. And if one of you guys is listening to this, good on you. I'm fucking proud of you guys. You guys went out and you guys fucking killed it this week, and I'm super proud of you. But I'm still salty as fuck because I'm stuck at home. So yeah, that might slightly taint this review of WrestleMania because I could have been in the goddamn building. I could have been in the goddamn... It would have been in the top row. It seriously would have been the top row. If I had jumped from my seat, I would have been killed in the fall. That's how high up. If I had jumped from the seats I was about to buy, my body would have exploded like a water balloon full of meat when I hit the ground. That's how fucking high those tickets would have been. But damn it, I would have died at WrestleMania. I would have been happy. Oh, I'm going to throw some more fuel on the fire here. Not only am I missing today, day one of WrestleMania, and tomorrow, day two, guess what else is happening? The Raw after WrestleMania is at the Staples Center. Yeah, and I'm still going to call it the Staples Center. I'm not going to do this crypto fucking cryptocurrency bank arena, whatever the fuck it is. The crypto bank arena, but you paid cash for it, you dumb motherfuckers. Yeah, no, it will now and forever be the Staples Center. Go fuck yourself. But Raw after WrestleMania is going to be there on Monday, and guess who's not going to be there? This fucking guy. Yeah, so little pissed off this weekend. But one thing I know is when I'm pissed off, it leads to better podcasting. So anyway, I've been ranting for easily 20 minutes. I know it's only been like 7.5 for you because I've edited the fuck out of this so far. There was shit I said that I'm like, ooh, I can't even put that in. Let's erase that. But so it is 4:30. I'm going to go get me something to drink, and we're going to start with WrestleMania. Be right back. All right. I just paused it. I know, and I had to come back because, truth be told, I hadn't turned on the Peacock Network yet. And as I'm turning on the Peacock Network on my TV, my first thought was, my subscription's been paid, right? This would be a horrible time to find out I hadn't paid for the Peacock Network and I have to pirate WrestleMania. I'm not above it. I'll do it, but it would suck. Anyway, turn on the Peacock Network, and the first thing I see is all the fucking shit movie parodies that they've been doing with the wrestlers, which proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that wrestlers are not actors. Okay? If you didn't learn this, if Mr. Nanny and Suburban Commando did not teach you that pro wrestlers are not actors, watch these fucking movie parodies that WWE did leading up to WrestleMania Goes Hollywood. They're so bad. Oh my God, it's like having a toddler try to tell you a joke. It just goes on forever, and you know it's supposed to be funny, but it's not, and you're just trying to stop yourself from vomiting. That's how bad. I just watched Bianca Belair and Montez Ford recreate Titanic. Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins recreate Joker. But for some reason, Seth Rollins is doing it with Eric Draven crow face paint. I don't know where the fuck that happened. Oh my God. All right. WrestleMania hasn't even started yet, and I'm already pissed off. All right, we are already off to a great start. The opening shot of SoFi Stadium looks fantastic. I will say that. That place is packed, and fuck all y'all because I couldn't be there. We then open with a video package, one of 300 scheduled video packages this weekend, with Kevin Hart. Yeah, Kevin Hart did the opening video package, which I died. I laughed hysterically because if you can't get The Rock, get his little buddy Kevin Hart. Fuck yeah, that's what we're going to do. We then go back to the ring, and we have Miz, who's hosting WrestleMania, in the ring with Snoop. Yes, that Snoop. Because it's in Inglewood, Snoop ain't doing shit, bring him down. And I love this because Miz is in a custom sparkly suit, and Snoop is next to him wearing a tracksuit. This is fantastic. I love it. This is already off to a great show. I'm already having a blast with this. Opening match is going to be, it's scheduled, hasn't started yet. I'm still looking at Miz and Snoop in the ring. But the opening match is scheduled for John Cena, Mr. Hustle, Loyalty, and Respect, versus Austin Theory and his Law and Order beard. And I say that because Austin Theory looks like the first guy they arrest in every episode of Law and Order SVU. Like, he may not have roofied the cheerleader, but he looks like the guy who would do it, and that's why he got arrested by mistake. That's what Austin Theory looks like. So, all right, Austin Theory on his way to the ring. We're going to pause this. I'm going to check this match out, and I will be back. All right, first match over and done with. Austin Theory over on John Cena. Like, you knew it was going to happen. I mean, it was for the U.S. title. John Cena was not going to win the U.S. title. Like, the fucking guy's got shit to do. He's not going to be defending the U.S. title every week. This match was your classic, like, the veteran came back to put over the new guy. That's exactly what happened. So, it went just like it should have. But, here's what's funny. Do you remember when John Cena was given the Rock shit? When the Rock went off to do movies? And he was bitching. John Cena was bitching about, well, how come Rock can't just come back and do his, you know, cut his promo and do his eyebrow and, you know, that's all he needs to do. And Rock got seriously offended. You remember that shit? That's all Cena did. Cena came out. He did his entrance. He did his five knuckle shuffle. He did his you can't see me. And Austin Theory took 80% of that match. So, I mean, couple that with the fact that Cena walked in with the worst farmer tan I've ever seen in my life. John Cena phoned this shit in. He really did. So, but I mean, it was a good opener. Austin 3 went over like he should have. So, yeah. And going back to the, remember I told you 300 scheduled video packages? Austin 3 made his entrance. We then had a Make-A-Wish video package of every Make-A-Wish that's been done since the Attitude Era. We got this 2-minute video package in between Austin Theory and John Cena walking in. I told you. I just fucking told you there was going to be a shit ton of video packages. And as I say that, they're doing the Xfinity Highlight of the Night video package. WWE, you've had one match. And you already have a highlight of the night? Okay, then. Oh, okay, I see what they're doing. The highlight of the night is the bullshit Fatal 4-Way from SmackDown last night. Because that is building this, what the fuck is this? This WrestleMania showcase. It's a 4-Way tag match. You got the Viking Raiders against Braun Strowman and Ricochet. You've got the Alpha Academy and you've got the Street Profits. Okay, so that's up next. Sorry. Popcorn. And popcorn and soda. Sorry about that. I'm not even going to edit that out. Fuck it. So, all right, let's check this match out. We'll be back. All right, I got to say, the Fatal 4-Way tag match, that was fun. It was a lot of fun. That's one of those matches that it's just, it's shotgun spots and bodies flying all over the place. It's fun as shit to be in. Because you get together with all the other teams and you just throw shit in and they're fun as hell to work. They are really fun as hell. Highlight of this match. I'm going to say it right now. Highlight of this match was Chad Gable hitting a Chaos Theory German suplex, a rolling German suplex on Braun Strowman. And my only thought was, hey, remember that time when Vince McMahon thought Chad Gable's partner, his tag partner, should be Kurt Angle's kid? Yeah, great call, Vince. Whatever happened to that fucking guy? So anyway, Street Profits go over. Great. It was a great finish. Angelo Dawkins, he's on the mat. Ricochet goes for a shooting star. Dawkins pulls his knees in. Ricochet lands on the knees and stays there. Montez Ford comes off the opposite turnbuckle with a giant frog splash. Looked like it crushed the shit out of Ricochet. And then Dawkins gets the cover. 1, 2, 3. Street Profits go over. So really fun match. I really like this one. Fuck am I watching now? Look, some Brock Lesnar highlight film. Like, I have the sound off. I have no idea. And it's just Brock killing dudes. Okay, looks like it's the video package for the Brock Omos match. That's going to suck. I'm sorry, but that match is going to suck. So, all right, I'll be right back. All right, WWE did a bait and switch, which is kind of standard operating procedure for them. They showed a video package of Lesnar and Omos, and the match that's coming on right now is Seth Rollins and Logan Paul. So, all right. We open with Logan Paul ziplining to the ring. That happened. The fucking guy ziplined to the ring. Owen Hart fell from the top of an arena. Logan Paul survives ziplining to the ring. There's no fucking justice. All right, let's check this fucking match out. Okay, credit where credit is due. This match was good. This match was really good. I know I talk a lot of shit about Logan Paul. It's because I think he's a douchebag. But that's what wrestling needs. Wrestling needs douchebags. He's a super athletic douchebag. I can't take that away from him. He's crazy athletic. But this match showed he can't feed a comeback for shit. That's basic wrestling school shit right there. Feed a comeback, motherfucker. Oh my God. Anyway, really good finish. I didn't mention this before. Logan Paul came to the ring with a Prime Energy mascot. Like some dipshit in a Prime Energy, like, mascot bottle costume, whatever the fuck it was, and that was his buddy KRS-One. I don't know, that's my generation. Well, who's the YouTube dipshit that Logan Paul hangs out with? KS-One. Okay, yeah, KS-One was in the Prime Energy mascot bottle and did a run in right in front of the referee. Like, we're not even trying to kayfabe this shit anymore. Just interferes right in front of the referee, and referee's just like, oh, it's fucking Mania, what are you gonna do? But really good match. Seth Rollins goes over with the curb stomp. I did laugh hysterically because Seth Rollins uses the pedigree as a false finish, okay? Rollins hooks up Logan in the pedigree. He pedigrees him, covers him. 1, 2. Logan kicks out on 2, and I'm going, did you just kick out of Triple H's finish at WrestleMania? Oh, bro, you're going to be jobbing to R-Truth for like the next year and a half. Like, good luck with that, fucker. Hunter's going to bring your brother in, and you guys are going to be doing 3-minute squash matches for the Alpha Academy. Watch, that's going to happen. All right, so next up, we have the 6-woman tag of Becky Lynch, Trish Stratus, and Lita against Damage Control. Wait, what happened in the Brock Lesnar-Omos match? Like, you showed me that video 10 minutes ago. Oh, you're just going to make me wait for that match, aren't you? That's going to be a whole lot of suck. Anyway, the 6-woman tag should be really good, so let's check this out. Yeah, like I thought, this match was going to be really good. It was fun. It was really fun. Like I said, this is one of those multi-person matches where you guys just go in and just throw in a bunch of fun shit and see what happens. Multi-man matches, 6-man tag matches, 8-man matches, they're so much fun because you don't necessarily have to worry about storytelling. The crowd doesn't give a shit about the story. They want to see a bunch of spots. They want to see dives. They want to see a bunch of people killing themselves. And that's what this had. This was great. So yeah, you had Lita and Trish and Becky Lynch coming out on top. Becky wins with a manhandle slam off the second rope to Bayley. Really good. This was really good. So let's see. What the fuck is next? There's a video package of Bianca Belair. So is her and Asuka's matchup next? I don't know. I've already fallen for this shit once. You guys gave me Brock Lesnar and Omos. You gave me that video package and then Seth Rollins and Logan Paul after that. So I'm looking at a video package of Bianca Belair and Asuka. And they're going to throw some random fucking match at me. Watch. Called it. I called it. You just gave me a 3-minute video package of Bianca Belair and Asuka. What matches up next? Rey Mysterio against Dominic. See? Motherfuckers. Like, knock. Okay, for one thing, this storyline right here is getting on my goddamn nerves. All right? It is. The whole storyline has been how Dominic is daring his dad to hit him. Like, hit me. Hit me. You're not going to hit me, and Rey won't hit his son. There is not a Mexican father on the earth that would not beat the shit out of his kid for talking shit. This shit wouldn't have waited until WrestleMania. No. In my family, this shit would have happened at a cookout, like, back in July. The kid was talking a little shit, got his ass beat. See you at Thanksgiving, motherfuckers. So, anyway, Dominic and Rey coming up next. All right, there was so much great shit in this match. Like, I can't even lie. The whole Dominic going to jail thing, it started as a joke, but now they're, like, playing it straight, which makes it even funnier. Like, oh, sorry, I just turned the volume down and started recording, and I look over, and boom, like, Rey's daughter, like, there was a thong shot there. I seriously paused that and replayed it so many times it went viral. That was okay. Yeah, I just looked over and like, oh, Rey, Aaliyah thong. Okay, she's over 18, right? I'm not getting up on some crazy list. Anyway, moving on. So, Dominic has this great entrance. Like I said, the whole Dom goes to jail thing started as a joke. The fact that it is being played like straight now makes it awesome. And Dominic's WrestleMania entrance is he got drove into the arena in a prisoner transport van. He's got handcuffs on, but for some reason, like, they gave him his wrestling gear in Central Booking. I don't know what happened. So that was fantastic. Rey comes to the ring in a lowrider driven by Snoop. Originally, he comes out to Eddie Guerrero's entrance music, which I thought was fucking awesome. He then gets up on the stage, his entrance kicks in, and you know how Rey is famous for the comic book superhero ring gear? He's dressed like the Flash, which is funny as shit until I realized, like, Rey, like, bro, you're 5'1", you're dressed in red and yellow, you look like a giant Slim Jim.
Step into a Slim Jim. Ooh, yeah.
And for some reason, we have Bad Bunny doing commentary, which, okay, so they announced Bad Bunny do commentary, and my first thought was, this guy doesn't speak English, does he? Like, I've never heard the fucking guy speak. And then they said he's doing Spanish, he's like a Spanish announce table. Like, well, there you go. Okay. So these guys worked a great match. They really did. You know what? The whole Dominic thing, like, give this kid some credit, busting his ass. He debuted during the pandemic. So he is working matches in front of no people. And 3 years later, he has a spot at WrestleMania. Like, you can sit here and talk shit like, well, you know, he only has his job because he's Rey's kid. So who gives a shit? The fucking kid busted his ass and now he's got his own WrestleMania moment. So fuck yeah. During the match, you've got the Judgment Day, Damian Priest and Finn Balor. They come to ringside. And I noticed, like, for some reason, Damian Priest takes off. He's got this really nice blazer on. Takes the blazer off and just puts it in the corner. And I'm thinking, I'm like, all right, so there's going to be some big schmoz and he doesn't want to get his jacket ruined. Sure as shit, here comes Legado del Fantasma. And, okay, one thing I thought was great is Rey took Legado and they started the LWO again. They restarted the LWO on SmackDown last night, which I thought was fantastic. So Legado comes down and they got Rey's back. There's a big schmoz. Dom and Rey are back in the ring. Dom pulls down a turnbuckle. He pulls off the turnbuckle pad. Referee sees him, starts putting the pad back on. Dominic goes over to Damian Priest's blazer and pulls out this giant, like, fucking, like, bike chain. Like, the type of chain that Hercules used to come up to the ring with around his neck, pulls this giant chain out. And I just thought, Damian Priest had that in his jacket. Like, that was a 30-pound chain, and it's in his jacket. And Dom's got the chain. He's getting ready to hit Rey with it, and Bad Bunny does a run-in. Grabs the chain. Dom's like, what the fuck are you doing? Rey hits him with a drop kick in the back, 619. Eddie Guerrero frog splash off the top Ray goes over on Dominic on the same weekend he gets inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Good match. Really good match. I've got to say, I mean, you threw in a bunch of smoke and mirrors, which I don't think this match needed, but it was fun. So, yeah, this was awesome. So it looks like we've got coming up next Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Why are there still two women's championships? Just would you unify the belts already? Anyway, this match looks like it's going to be really good too, so I'll be back. All right, I'm pissed off now. I am pissed off because, all right, this match was great. I am not going to take anything away from the match. Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair for the Women's SmackDown Championship. Fucking great match. They told an amazing story. These ladies worked their ass off. From bell to bell, they told a phenomenal story. All right? They brought back the Rhea Ripley challenge Charlotte Flair 3 years ago. Rhea couldn't get it done, so they're telling the story that Rhea's not the same as she was 3 years ago. She's stronger now, physically stronger, mentally stronger. She's not the same person. They told a phenomenal story. And in the end, Rhea Ripley ends up beating Charlotte Flair for the Women's SmackDown Championship. The finish was great. The finish was phenomenal because you have Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair battling on the top rope, and Rhea drops Charlotte face first across the ring post, and Charlotte sells it like a corpse. She is out. And Rhea, they get this great shot of Rhea Ripley, and she's got this smile on her face as if to say, oh, I got you, bitch. I got you. Now it's mine. Climbs up to the top rope where Charlotte's still out. And Rhea hits her finish, hits the riptide off the top. 1, 2, 3. Crowd goes nuts. They are showing video from Australia, where Rhea Ripley's from. And those people lost their shit when Rhea Ripley won the women's championship. So what pissed me off? This shit that they did it this year. They did it a couple years ago with Bianca and Sasha. They did this bullshit where the champion who just lost, or the former champion who just lost her title, is sitting outside the ring smiling. Can you tell me? And I realize kayfabe's dead. I realize everybody knows that pro wrestling's a work. I get that. But can you at least act like the title means something to you? Can you please act like being a champion was important? You just lost a championship and you're sitting outside the ring fucking smiling? Oh, that irritates the shit. It irritated the shit out of me when Sasha did it a few years ago. Bianca went over for the title and Sasha's outside the ring fucking smiling. It irritated me today. Again, I get it. Kayfabe's dead, but can we at least pretend that titles mean something? You ladies came out and put on a classic. You went out and put on a masterclass in main eventing WrestleMania, even though it wasn't the main event. That could have been a main event. You ladies, that was a masterpiece. And then the loser is smiling at the end. Oh, hey. Now here's the bullshit attendance record, 80,000 people. Okay, yeah, all right. That just irritated the fuck out of me. It was basically, like, again, you put together this, like, that was an A-plus match. It really was. And Charlotte just sitting outside, just fucking smiling. Like, oh, I'm pissed off. God, I'm pissed off. Anyway, yeah, Rhea Ripley, new Women's SmackDown champion. That match was great. Director should have fucking cut it right there. What's up next? What's the main event? I have no idea what's main eventing night one. I know Miz is in the ring with Snoop, and Snoop's got his solid gold world title over his shoulder. So Pat McAfee just came out for some reason. I'm assuming he's doing commentary for the main event. What the fuck's the main event? I have no idea. Oh, shit. Okay. It is Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos for the Unified Tag Championships. I can do this. Yeah, I'm fucking tired. This is going to be great. I will say that this story has been built up. It is great. This is what you can do with long-term storytelling. Okay, so this hot-shotting shit that they've been doing for like 15 years, because Vince is old and senile, I can't remember what the fuck he did last week. This is what happens when you get rid of Vince. Speaking of which, has anyone seen Vince this weekend? Oh my God, like the hair is dyed jet black. He's got a jet black mustache. Like, he's out here looking like Vincent the McMahon. Like, it's bad. It's looks like a cartoon villain from the 1940s. It's horrible. Anyway, this is what happens when you get rid of Vince McMahon and you actually do long-term storytelling. Holy shit, I'm tired. Oh my God, like, I can't talk for shit. Anyway, yeah, so that's the main event. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens against the Usos, Unified Tag Team Championship. So this is going to be great. Yeah, this match was great. This was awesome. It had everything. It had a great story going in. The action was awesome. You had 317 super kicks. You had 147 camera cuts. This fucking match had everything. All joking aside, this was awesome. Like I said, you had this almost year-long build to this match. And for anybody who's still butthurt that Sami Zayn didn't beat Roman Reigns for the heavyweight title, this was why. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were always going to win the tag titles at WrestleMania. There was no point in putting the heavyweight title on Sami Zayn and then having him drop it 2 or 3 weeks later and then putting the tag team titles on him. It would have seemed like a demotion. So if you're still pissed off, why couldn't Sami beat Roman? This is why. Because this was always the plan. That being said, this match was great. This crowd was on fire. This crowd was not that hot for Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. And I started wondering, like, are they just not into this match? Is it really, like, is this crowd just kind of burnt out? Because, I mean, let's be honest. These people have been in the building almost 6-8 hours. Like, don't think for 1 second that the crowd came in and then you saw the 4-hour pay-per-view. No, no, no. These people have been there for like somewhere between 6 and 8 hours. So you start to burn out a crowd after 6 hours, I would think. So they weren't that into Rhea and Charlotte. I was wondering if that was why. No, this crowd was on fire for Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos. And these guys hit each other with everything. I will say this. Next year's WrestleMania, I'm going to start a drinking game. Every time you see a super kick, take a shot. I'd be dead right now. I really would. That's, oh my God. But I will say this. I'm not gonna lay off on the fact that this match was awesome. And this crowd lived and died on every near fall. The finish this match, Sami Zayn was going to get the pin. There was no way. I don't care what you thought was going to happen in this match. There was no way Sami Zayn was not going to get the pin and win the tag titles. The finish, he hits one haluva kick on Jimmy Uso. Jimmy goes to fall. Sami holds him up. Sami holds him up, puts him back in the corner, hits him with a second. I'm going, oh, they're going to milk the shit out of this. Jimmy goes to fall again. Sami will not let him fall. He's holding him up, puts him back in the corner, goes to the opposite corner, and his great shot of Sami Zayn's face. And the crowd is just, they're hot as shit. They know that third kick is coming. Boom. Hits him with a third haluva kick, and Jimmy just collapses. Sami makes the cover. Ref counts one. Ref counts two. Ref counts three. And this building erupted. This building came unfucking glued, and it was awesome. And I'm not going to lie. I got a little emotional because there's this camera shot of Kevin Owens just sitting in the middle of the ring, and he's just, he's in disbelief. He's in absolute disbelief. And that's when I remembered these guys cut a promo. Sammy and Kevin cut a promo a couple weeks ago for them to win the tag titles at WrestleMania in LA. Is like, it's indescribable. Both these guys made their names at PWG, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, down in LA. It's down in Reseda. These guys, that's pretty much, PWG put these guys on the map. That's where these guys first started making their name, was at PWG in LA. So for these two guys, for it to come full circle and they get their WrestleMania moment in LA, like, I'm not going to lie, I got a little emotional for them. So that was the main event, WrestleMania day one, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens beating the Usos for the Unified World Tag Team Championships. Fucking great. Oh my God. So yeah, that is day one. And I'm not going to lie, I'm really tempted to just cut this and post this and do two separate podcasts. But I'm going to fight the urge and I'm just going to put it on pause. I will come back tomorrow for day two. Day two is going to be insane. I can already tell day two is going to be insane. Day two is going to have that fucking phenomenal Brock Lesnar Omos match that they did three video packages for today. Like, really? Really? Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns didn't get a video package today, but Brock Lesnar and Omos got three of them? Stupid motherfuckers. Anyway, yeah, day one in the books. I will see you guys tomorrow. I will record day two, and I will post this sumbitch as soon as possible. All right? Talk to you soon. All right, I am back. It is WrestleMania Day 2. It is actually 4:25 in the afternoon, which means the pre-show's been going on for at least 3 hours now. And yeah, it is Day 2, and I have to say, this part of the podcast is brought to you by Cool Water Cologne. You don't have to have warrants and unpaid child support. You can just smell like it. So, one thing I found out about yesterday, they royally bullshit the attendance. They announced the attendance at like 80,500. I'm rounding up. Yeah, there were 65,000 tickets sold. They bullshit the attendance by 15,000 people. Holy shit. Oh my God. How does a publicly traded company fucking lie to you about the attendance, about the number of tickets sold? Here's why. I'll tell you. Was it Triple H? It was either Triple H or Vince McMahon. I can't remember. Said in a investor's call that the announced attendance is quote unquote part of the show. Translation, we can lie to you. Go fuck yourselves. So yeah, 80,000 was what was announced. 65,000 and change was what actually paid for tickets. So yeah, that happened. Anyway, like I said, we are roughly 30 minutes away from the start of day two. I still say day one was damn good. That's from what I've been hearing, different podcasts and checking out social media articles, things like that. Everybody enjoyed day one. Everybody thought day one was great. So yeah, hopefully day two. Day two has got, I think, bigger matches. I mean, you talk about Roman and Cody. You talk about the Hell in the Cell match. You're looking at the Raw Women's Championship. Yeah, it's actually looking like a better lineup for day two. So I'm excited. So what I'm going to do is I am going to put it on pause. I am going to go find myself something else to eat because I just got back from the gym and I am dog tired right now. And yeah, I will be back at the start of the show. Okay, folks, we are back. Oh, God, this is, you know. Oh, okay, so the reason I'm laughing, WrestleMania has just begun. It is 5:08 in the afternoon. Show just started. We had the Kevin Hart cold open. Miz opened the show with Snoop, who's wearing a brand new tracksuit. First match out, Brock Lesnar versus Omos. Oh, my God. They advertised this fucking match 3 times yesterday, and they throw it out first like, this is going to suck. Like, just get the match out. Just let's get it over with. This match is going to be ugly. This match is going to be like Ron Jeremy eating mayonnaise out of the jar ugly. That's how bad this is going to be. And I'm hoping, at some point, I'm hoping that Omos sucks so much that Lesnar just snaps and starts shooting on him. Like, that's what I'm hoping. And I know there's going to be some fucking dipshit out there going, Greg, what's Lesnar going to do against Omos? Omos is huge. Listen, dipshit. The fucking guy is big, clumsy, and stupid. All right? Lesnar is the closest thing we have today to a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Okay? The T-Rex didn't go extinct. It evolved into Brock Lesnar. So if Omos decides that he's just gonna go into business for himself, we're gonna see a giant funeral. Like, Brock is just gonna fucking kill this dude. So, all right, they're doing the whole tail of the tape bullshit. This is gonna be ugly. This is gonna be bad. I'll be right back. All right, we are back, and I have to say it, that did not suck. That match was the definition of idiot proof. Omos had 3 moves. That's it. He had a body slam, he had a bear hug, and he hit a choke slam for a near fall. Whoever the agent is on this said, okay, we're doing 3 moves, so you can't fuck this up. And it was simple, but it was brilliant. You go in there, you heat up Brock from the beginning. Omos gets his heat, tells a story. I mean, this is a David and Goliath story. Basic shit. Like, this is first week of wrestling school shit. But for the first time, Brock is playing the little guy. And so you had Omos, who went in, he put the heat on Brock Lesnar. He misses a charge in the corner. Lesnar suplexes him 3 times, hits an F5, takes it home. This match had to be in and out in like less than 6 minutes. This was genius. Like I said, the agent was like, okay, we're doing 3 moves. That's it. And Omos said, well, I want to, no, shut up. We're doing a body slam. We're doing a bear hug, and we're doing a choke slam. That's all you get. That is all you get. So that's it. Brock Lesnar takes this one. F5 finish. Like I said, it was good. It was good. I mean, it was adequate. It worked. And it looks like we are going to follow that up with the SmackDown Women's Fatal 4-Way Tag Match. We have Liv Morgan. I almost said Liv Tyler. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Natalya and Shotzi are on their way to the ring right now. You have Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. And then you have that new team of shit. Matt Cardona's wife. Yeah, her. Chelsea Green. Yeah, and Sonya Deville. So that's going to be a Fatal 4-Way. Yesterday's guy's Fatal 4-Way was great. It was shotgun spots. It was high spots. It was a lot of fun. So I have no reason to believe this one won't be just as good. So I'll be back. All right, like I said, those matches are fun as hell. It's just 4 teams, 8 people in there. You're just bouncing spots off each other. They're a lot of fun. You don't have to worry about telling a story because you go in there and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I'll work those matches all day long. Those are great. And the finish in this was Ronda and Shayna. They did nothing. I seriously don't think they got any time in the ring. The other 3 teams just kicked the crap out of each other, and then Ronda blind tagged herself in, put Shotzi in an armbar, and tapped her out, which is great for heat. That is excellent for heat because the fans lose their shit. the fans start, well, they didn't do anything. They just stole the win, which is excellent. So hopefully they'll follow up with this. Ronda and I don't know if Ronda and Shayna, if they're going to continue being a team or what. I have no idea what's going on. But yeah, that was a good match. It was, like I said, it's a lot. I cannot overstate how much fun those types of matches are to be in. They are great. So, yeah, it looks like there's a video package right now of the Judgment Day. So it looks like the Finn Balor and Edge Hell in a Cell match is up next. If it is, I'm going to be pissed. You guys have bait and switched me too many times. So, all right. Yeah, I think the Hell in a Cell match is up next. So, I'll be right back. Nope. Those fuckers bait and switched me again. They just had this 3-minute video package for Finn Balor and Edge. And you bring out Bobby Lashley because he won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which is on SmackDown now because that's not big enough to be on WrestleMania anymore. 2 fucking days, and you can't do the Battle Royal. Okay, anyway. And it looks like the Intercontinental title Triple Threat is up next. You have Gunther. Is it Gunther? Gunther. I don't know. I don't speak German. Defending his Intercontinental Championship against both Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. So that is going to be a triple threat for the Intercontinental title. I'm sure at some point they're going to mention that the Intercontinental title has never been defended in a triple threat at WrestleMania. Like, you know, their made up history bullshit. So, all right, we're going to check that match out and I'll be back. Holy shit. Oh my God. Those three guys beat the shit out of each other. It was great. Now, I will say this. Going in, I was not looking forward to this match because every WWE triple threat match has the exact same format. Three guys start the match, one guy gets knocked out of the ring, the two guys left in the ring beat the shit out of each other for a while, trade spots, the guy that got knocked out comes back in, another guy gets knocked out, and then those two guys work spots until that third guy comes back in the ring, and the guy that hasn't got knocked out yet gets knocked out of the ring. So you're basically just rotating two guys in the ring, exchanging spots. That's every WWE triple threat match ever. This one was no different. The only difference was that when whoever the two guys in the ring were, they beat the shit out of each other. And this crowd ate it up. Oh my God, it was great. You know what? I have to say that the way they built up Sheamus, I so thought he was going over because they kept talking about how the Intercontinental title was the only title that has eluded Sheamus in this company. And they kept talking about how he dreamt about the Intercontinental title for years. And they built it up so much that I thought Sheamus was going over. Nope. No, not so much. No. Gunther retains. He powerbombs Sheamus on top of Drew McIntyre, which eliminates Sheamus. Sheamus rolls out of the ring, picks up Drew McIntyre, powerbombs Drew McIntyre. He then folds McIntyre in half, so his knees are by his ears. Folded him up like a porn star for the 1, 2, and 3. Gunther retains the title. Awesome triple threat match for the Intercontinental title. So that one was great. And next up, it looks like we've got Bianca Belair against Asuka. Asuka's already on her way down to the ring and with her space juggalo makeup. You know what? Again, I don't know much about women's Japanese wrestling. I know there's going to be some fucking Japanese wrestling nerds yelling at me right now, but she looks like a space juggalo. Just fucking stop. All right. Anyway, you know what? Of all the matches on today's show, I think this one has, like, the least hype behind it. I'm not saying it's not going to be a good match. I haven't seen a lot of people hype this match up. So, I will say this. This is, okay, you cannot tell me Vince McMahon is not back in charge, or at least helping with creative. Because this build for this match has been trash. It has been dumpster fire trash. The build for Asuka versus Bianca Belair has included the two of them standing in the ring, and all of a sudden Asuka just starts spitting up blue liquid and laughing maniacally. like a fucking mental patient. And Bianca Belair is just looking at her like, the fuck is wrong with you? That's been the build. That's been the entire build. And that's Vince McMahon shit. That, how many times has Vince done that? Just done some stupid shit. And you're going like, what the fuck is this? And of course, Michael Cole, being the, you know, being the good little WWE puppet that he is, he has to try and make sense of this bullshit. Asuka's playing mind games. It's psychological warfare. No, it's not. It's fucking stupid. From the mind of a senile 86-year-old man. You cannot tell me Vince is not doing this shit now. Vince has to be back in charge with this shit. Anyway, that match is up next. I'll be right back. All right, this match, it was a good match. It was a really good match. Didn't really have a lot of heat until the closing moments. The crowd really didn't seem to get into this until the finishing sequence, which was good. It seemed really convoluted, but it was good. There's contact there. Asuka goes for the poison mist. Bianca ducks. Bianca swings that giant ponytail. Asuka ducks. Asuka goes for a kick. Bianca ducks. Bianca picks her up into the KOD. Asuka reverses into an armbar. Thought we're going to see a tap out. Thought Bianca was going to tap out. She gets out. She actually muscles Asuka back up for the KOD, hits her finish, and Bianca retains clean 1-2-3. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, really good match, but crowd wasn't really into it until that closing sequence. So, yeah, that one, I mean, it was good. It was. We haven't really had a bad match on Mania yet. Like, the last first day was good. Today, so far, everything's been really good. So, yeah, no complaints so far. And next up, oh, this is fantastic. Okay, so we've got some more bullshit with Miz and Snoop. And did I mention the Pat McAfee match yesterday? I don't remember if I commented on it or not. Anyway, for some reason, Snoop's a booker for WWE, in case I didn't go over this, and he just books Miz in a match with Pat McAfee. So Miz got his ass kicked by Pat McAfee. Right now, we've got Miz and Snoop in the ring. Miz is pissed off that he put him in a match, so Snoop puts him in another match. And Shane McMahon's music starts playing. These people came unglued. And Shane O'Mac dances his way down to the ring and blew the fuck up. He was sucking wind by the time he got down to the ring. Him and Miz wrestled for about 18 seconds before Shane McMahon looks like he blew out his knee. I don't know if this is a worked injury or if it's a shoot, but they seriously, like, wrestled for less than a minute. They did the drop-down leapfrog spot, which is week one of wrestling school. Shane goes up for a leapfrog, comes down, and then just kind of, he just kind of slumps down there, grabbing his knee. And Miz is like, it looks like he's stalling. So I'm like, did Shane really get hurt here? Did they fucking fly this guy out to LA to do an impromptu match with Miz and this fucking guy blew out his knee? Like, oh. And so he's rolling around. Referee calls the doctor. Doctor comes in. They never threw up an X sign. So I'm thinking this was a work. But why? Why would you bring Shane in to do one drop down, one leapfrog, and then he collapses like he blew his knee out? And then what happens next? Snoop gets back in the ring because Snoop dipped out as soon as the match started. Snoop gets back in the ring and just punches Miz right in the face. Just fucking clocked this dude right in the mouth. He then sets up for a people's elbow. Yes, that happened. Snoop going for the people's elbow. He hits the ropes with the speed of a nearsighted toddler. Like, it's not half speed. He's going like one quarter speed. Doesn't really bounce off the ropes as much as he just kind of lightly touches him with his back. hits one side, goes, hits the other side, and then seriously drops like a Murder Was the Case elbow drop, because that fucking killed Miz. Like, Snoop dropped his whole body weight on Miz's head. Fucking killed this guy. I was laughing so hard. Like, I almost pissed myself. I was laughing so hard. Oh, wait, hold on. Hold on. I'm looking at my phone right now, and it was just reported that Shane tore his quad. Shane McMahon now has the record for the shortest WrestleMania match ever. He beat SD Jones. This fucking guy did a drop down, leapfrog, tore his quad, rolled out of the ring. Yeah. Fucking Shane. Dude, Shane's big WrestleMania moment was tearing his quad. I didn't know torn quads were genetic. Remember when Vince tore his fucking quad? Yeah. Oh my God. Those McMahons and their genetically weak quads. All right. Anyway, so next up, it looks like we've got the match is going on right now. We have Edge versus Finn Balor in the Hell in the Cell match. Now, so the whole gimmick to this, God, I hope this is the blow off. Because this whole Edge versus Judgment Day bullshit has been going on forever. And both sides win matches and they just keep going. So I'm really hoping this is the blow-off match. They did manage to get Finn Balor in his old demon war paint bullshit. Which, wasn't that a babyface character? Wasn't Finn Balor's demon persona, like, wasn't that meant as a babyface character? So, but Finn Balor's a heel. But you're pulling out his old babyface persona against Edge, like the ultimate babyface. What the fuck is going on here? So, I miss the days when WWE booking made sense. It was a long time ago. Super long time ago, and it lasted like 2.5 weeks. But, yeah, that's happening. Anyway, all right, I'm going to check this match out. I'll be right back. All right, that was really damn good. I don't know if... Okay, so there looked to be a lot of shit that went wrong in this match. I don't know if it just... I don't know if things actually went wrong or if these guys are just that fucking good. Because there was... Okay, so there at one point, you have Finn Balor just chucking steel chairs at Edge. Like Sabu style, just chucking them at his head. A few minutes later, Edge gets a ladder and chucks it across the ring into Balor's face. Busted Balor open. Like, seriously open, like a 3 or 4 inch laceration on the crown of his head. He's bleeding all over the place. And they actually brought medical personnel into the cage. And I'm going, fuck. Because cage door's open, so now the Judgment Day is going to run in. It's a WWE trope. We're going to have a cage match. The point of the cage is to keep everyone out, but for some reason, we're still going to have fucking run-ins in the cage. No, it was legit. That was legit. Finn Balor was busted open. Like, oh, okay. So I don't know if the ladder was a receipt for Balor throwing the steel chairs at Edge, but later on, Finn Balor goes for that double stomp off the top rope. Balor probably does the best double stomp off the top I've ever seen. Like, it looks like he fucking kills this guy. But if you look at Balor's hips, there's no weight on his feet. He basically takes a bump, his hips are back so that the feet touch, but Balor pretty much lands on his ass, and he takes care of the guy that taking the double stomp. The guy on the ground, like, probably doesn't feel a thing. The double stomp he did on Edge after taking a ladder to the face, like, you cannot tell me Edge didn't shit his pants. Balor comes off, just double stomps him in the gut. All of his body weight is on Edge's abs. So I'm like, there had to be a gerbil squirt in Edge's tights. Like, there's no way. So I don't know if a lot of things went wrong and these guys were just fucking giving receipts back and forth, or if these guys are just that damn good that they made it look that way. So anyway, really great Hell in a Cell match. Edge goes over with the concerto at the end. And yeah, this was good. This was really good. So what's next? I'm seeing Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair is celebrating with this dance troupe from Compton. They were adorable, by the way. This little dance troupe of these girls that had to be like between 10 and 13 walked Bianca Belair to the ring, and it was fucking adorable. I will say that. So anyway, oh, is it? No. Okay, so apparently Backlash, they're doing another video package right now, and Backlash is going to be in Puerto Rico. Yeah. WrestleMania Backlash is going to be in Puerto Rico because pro wrestling in Puerto Rico doesn't have any bad history, right? It's not like fucking Bruiser Brody wasn't stabbed in the shower in fucking San Juan, Puerto Rico. Anyway, yeah, let's have the next pay-per-view from Puerto Rico. That's why not? Why the fuck not? So it is now time. It is now time for the main event, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, in a story that's been... Basically, they've been building the story up for a year now. I mean, think about it. Cody came back to WWE a year ago, last year, at last year's WrestleMania against Seth Rollins, and they've been telling this story for a year. Can Cody win the title? You know, is Roman's been champion for over 900 days, and is Cody the guy to unseat him as the top guy? So, yeah, they've been telling the story for a year. This match should be really good. So, yeah, let me check this out. I'll be right back. Oh, holy shit. Oh, holy shit. Cody got Lex Lugered. They Lex Lugered that motherfucker. Holy shit. So let me get this straight. Like I said, you have been telling this story. You told a year-long story. Cody comes back at WrestleMania 38. Since then, since the day after WrestleMania, you've been telling this story about how Cody wanted to win the one title that his father could never win. And it was always his dream to win that title, take it home to Dusty, hand it to his father, and say, "Here, Dad, here, you deserve this." You told this year-long story. And then you get to WrestleMania, and Cody and Roman had this fucking great match. It was a great match. Like, that crowd was white hot from the opening bell to the closing fuck finish. It was a great, great match. But in the end, Roman retains because of an outside interference from Solo Sikoa. And I've complained about this before. Roman Reigns has become the NWO, where no matter what happened, the NWO always had a run-in fuck finish, and you did it for 3 years straight, to the point where WCW fans didn't give a shit anymore. And that's what's happening with Roman. Roman, you're going to have all the Roman Reigns fucking marks jerking off talking about Roman hasn't been beaten in 900 days. Really? Because he lost a tag match in December to Kevin Owens and fucking John Cena. Well, he's been unified champion for 900 days. No, he hasn't. He's held the SmackDown title for 3 years. But he just won the Raw title last year, so he hasn't been a dual champion for 900 days. Well, he hasn't been pinned for 900 days. Just keep moving the goalpost back, motherfuckers. Yeah, it's WWE history. They will rewrite it as they see fit. But going back to the part where Cody got Lex Lugered, do you remember? Was it 93? I seriously think it was 30 years ago. 30 years ago this July, Lex Luger shows up on the deck of the USS Intrepid, slams Yokozuna, and they did this two-month-long cross-country bus tour, the Lex Express. Remember that shit? And they built Lex Luger up like a conquering hero because Lex was going to be the guy to take the title off Yokozuna. And what happened at SummerSlam? Luger failed. Luger failed to beat Yokozuna, and the people turned on him. The people did not give a fuck about Lex Luger because he failed to win the title. That's what you just did to Cody. You had this 1 year long storyline about him winning the title that his father could never win. Him wanting to present the title to his dad, and he doesn't have that opportunity because his dad passed away. But, and you kept hammering the tagline, finish the story. Finish the story. And what happened? Cody fucking failed at WrestleMania. I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you wipe your ass with this year-long storyline that you've been building? And I know, I can hear the marks right now, but Greg, Roman Reigns is on a 943-day storyline, and wouldn't it be awesome to get to 1,000? No, it wouldn't. Because Roman isn't even close to being the longest reigning champion of all times. He's got two more years to catch up to Hogan. Fucking Bruno Sammartino was a champion for like 15 fucking years. Like, you're not gonna break any record. But he's the champion of the modern era. Oh, fuck you in the modern era again. It's WWE history. They will rewrite it as they see fit. Okay? Case in point, I totally skipped this when covering the Intercontinental title triple threat. They said that Gunther is the longest reigning Intercontinental champion of this century. He's been champion for over 225 days. Wait, hold on. I know I flunked junior college twice. 225 days. That's not even a year. That's not even a year. Honky Tonk Man was a champion for 15 fucking months. All right. But Greg, the modern era, fuck you in the modern era. Okay. Either records mean something or they don't. So stop fucking with shit. Stop rewriting shit and expect me to go with it. Okay. Roman's not breaking Hogan's record. Roman sure as shit isn't breaking Bruno's record. So why wouldn't you put the title on Cody after this year-long storyline that you've been building? But Greg, what if they put the title on Cody at Backlash? Who gives a fuck about Backlash? Name one legendary, iconic Backlash moment. Go ahead. I'll wait. You don't have one, do you? You don't. You can't name one fucking match that ever happened at Backlash. So who gives a flying fuck if Cody wins the title in a fucking rematch at Backlash in Puerto Rico? Yeah, it'll be known as, hey, remember when Cody won the title in the country that killed Bruiser Brody? Yeah. Why? You had your shot. You built it up. Okay, you padded the attendance records. That was another thing. They gave the attendance record as 81,000 people today. Bullshit. You fucking padded the number by 15,000 people yesterday. But let's go by WWE bullshit numbers. You could have crowned Cody champion in front of a 2-day combined attendance of 161,000 people. But you're going to do it in front of 20,000 people at been photo fucking Puerto Rico? Really? Oh my God. You WWE cannot help themselves. They cannot help but punch their audience in the nuts every single fucking time. Oh, it's fantastic. It's gotta be done on purpose. It has to be on purpose. So anyway, let's go over the finish this fucking match. Referee gets bumped. Cody's going for the kill. All of a sudden, the Usos show up, start beating the shit out of Cody. Sammy and Kevin Owens jump in the ring, chase off the Usos. Solo, who got kicked out of the match earlier, just put on a hoodie and snuck back in, making WWE security the biggest dumb fucks in the world. Like, you're telling me if I get kicked out of a WWE event, I can just put on a hoodie and come back in and nobody will fucking notice? Like, he's a giant barefoot Samoan. Nobody notices fucking guy sneaking back into the building. Are you kidding me? Oh my God. So he hits Cody with the Samoan spike. Roman hits the spear. 1, 2, 3. And Roman fucking Reigns retains for his 985th fucking day or whatever it is. Oh my God. That's WrestleMania, people. I just whittled down 6 hours of fucking wrestling pay-per-view into like 1 hour and 10 minutes. That's an accomplishment. I'm calling it right now. That is an accomplishment. So, yeah, tomorrow is the Raw after Mania. So we'll see what happens there. I did see this. There's a rumor that WWE's been sold. And I do say rumor because it's the internet and it was April Fool's Day weekend. So yeah, I don't know if it's true or not, but I've read a couple of news articles saying that WWE is in, quote, advanced talks with the Endeavor Group, and there's a good chance that WWE will sell to the Endeavor Group. And for those of you who don't know, Endeavor Group is the parent company of UFC. So Vince McMahon and Dana White are going to be working for the same bosses. That just seems like a disaster in the making. You know what? I will say this. The UFC, the company that owns UFC, buying WWE, I cannot wait for that WWE slap fight pay-per-view. That's going to be fucking awesome right there. So, all right, folks. That is it. WrestleMania 39 in the books. This is the Ninja Nerd Warrior podcast. I am your host, Greg Hernandez. And you can find me on all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. If you like the show, God bless you, and recommend it to your friends. Share it, suggest it, subscribe to it, do all the S's. You can check it out on Google Podcasts, check it out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Audible. I am all over the fucking place. With that, guys, I just want to say thanks for hanging out with me. And again, I hopefully have some big stuff coming up here in the near future. And we will we'll check in with you in a little bit. All right? Bye-bye.